country music has a rich heritage filled with thousands of songs by hundreds of artists whose talent has made a deep and lasting impression on many of the popular songs we hear today. Now I invite you to listen as we turn back the years to once again enjoy the music of many of the talented entertainers who have gone before. I'm Ron Barlow, and these are my memories on the Country Cavalcade. For many years, country music has furnished some of the most popular humor ever written and performed. From the very beginning of country music, with the old folk ballads and children's songs of centuries ago, up until today, we find subjects to laugh at and about. Even some of the most serious country songs sometimes have a sentence or phrase that contains some subtle humor. On this Country Cavalcade, we will offer some of the most popular country fun songs from recordings made up until 50 years ago. Two of the most popular country humorists were also the first artists to base their entire career on funny songs or parodies. Homer and Jethro were fine musicians who had a great sense of humor. In fact, experts tell us that to do the type of recording they did, they had to be accomplished musicians. And their popularity lasted for 39 years, through the 40s into the 50s and 60s. Our show opener is one of their first big hit songs, a song that had been put together by another pair of country humorists, Lonzo and Oscar. And these guys had figured out how to become your own grandpa.
Years ago when I was 23, I was married to a widder who was pretty as could be. This widder had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother, cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. I'm my own grandpa. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother of the widder's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. Now father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild, for he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. I'm my own grandpa. Oh, if my wife is my grandmother, then I'm her grandchild. And every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild. For now I have become the strangest case you ever saw. As husband of my old grandmother, I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. I'm my own grandpa.
Now you know how to become your own grandpa, figured out by Homer and Jethro. Well, of course, they were very famous for their parodies, and in the 1960s, there was a popular song going around called How Much Is That Hound Dog in the Window? It had been recorded by Patti Page. It was the number one song on the pop charts, and that was just too much for Homer and Jethro to ignore. They had to do their own version, their parody of that very popular song.
I believe we ought to sing, Homer.
Now?
Now.
How much is that hound dog in the winder? I do hope that flea bag's for sale. How much is that hound dog in the winder? The one with the long mangy tail. I'll give you 2 bits for that hound dog.
the one with a sad, aching heart. For he looks so much like my girlfriend, I can't hardly tell them apart.
Of a dog is that?
That is a hot dog, Homer.
Boy, you mustered that up, didn't you?
I must take a trip to Louisiana, leave her and that hound dog alone. While I'm eating shrimp and jambalaya, they'll be home a-gnawing a bone. I don't want a monkey or a baboon. I don't want an old muley cow. I don't want a crappie or a catfish. A catfish could never meow. Is that hound dog in the winter, with a basketball nose on its face? You know what a basketball nose is. It dribbles all over the place.
That's how to work over a very popular song. How much is that hound dog in the window? Homer and Jethro on our country cavalcade salute to the humorists of country music. Well, in the 1970s, a grand old Opry star who had established himself with many, many humorous hits in the 40s, 50s, and even into the 60s, Little Jimmy Dickens, took a very popular expression of the day, made popular by Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. Johnny used to pass along a wish that the bird of paradise fly up your nose. Well, Little Jimmy Dickens took that phrase and did this with it.
One fine day as I was walking down the street, spied a beggar man with rags upon his feet. Took a penny from my pocket, in his tin cup I did drop it, and I heard him say as I made my retreat,
"May the bird of paradise fly up your nose, may an elephant caress you with his toes, may your wife be black with runners in her hose, may the bird of paradise fly up your nose."
Man is really on his toes. Found the $100 bill among the clothes. When he called me, I came running, gave him back his dime for phoning, and I heard him saying as I turned to go,
"May the bird of paradise fly up your nose.
Catch a train. The taxi driver said, "We'll make it just the same." A speed cop made it with us, and as he wrote out the ticket, I stood by politely waiting for my change.
Hey, bird of paradise, fly up your nose.
Bye.
we're out there, we hear a convoy coming. And, of course, that was a very, very popular humor song done by C.W. McCall in the 1970s during the height of the trucker songs and the songs that were saluting the CBers along the road. Well, here comes a convoy driven by C.W. McCall.
Yeah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10, about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck, and I'm about to put the hammer down.
'Cause we got a little convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a little convoy, ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on, join our convoy, ain't that the one getting our way? We gonna blow this trucking convoy across to USA. Convoy.
Breaker, Pigpen, this here's a duck, and you want to back off them hogs? 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
'Cause we got a great big convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a great big convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy. Ain't nothing but a gonna get in our way. We gonna roll this truckin' convoy across the USA. Convoy.
You wanna give me a 10-9 on that, Big Ben? Negatory, Big Ben, you're still too close. Yeah, them hawks is starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars, tanks, jeeps, and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears, and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke, with 1,000 screaming trucks, and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, rubber duck to Sodbuster, come on there. Yeah, 10-4, Sodbuster, listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite, and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
'Cause we got a mighty convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way.
What's your 20? Omaha. Well, they ought to know what's doing them honks out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out of here, so keep the
And there they go, backing on out of here. C.W. McCall and the famous convoy from the early 1970s. Well, remember in the 60s, the craze was marijuana. A lot of marijuana being used, the flower children and so forth. A guy by the name of Don Bowman wrote a song about it. He called it Wildwood Weed. He recorded it, but the big recording came a few years later by Jim Stafford.
Name of this song is The Wildwood Flower. Now, The Wildwood Flower is an old country classic. It's gained a whole new popularity. The song isn't any more popular, but the flower is doing real good. Wildwood flower grew wild on the farm, and we never knowed what it was called. Some said it's a flower, and some said it's a weed.
I didn't give it much thought. One day I was out there talking to my brother, and I reached down for a weed to chew on. Things got fuzzy and things got blurry, and then everything was gone. Didn't know what happened, but I knew it beat the hell out of sniffing burlap. I come to, and my brother was there, and he said, "What's wrong with your eyes?" I said, "I don't know. I was chewing on the weed." He said, "Let me give it a try." I spent the rest of that day and most of that night trying to find my brother Bill. Caught up with him about 6 o'clock the next morning, naked, singing on the windmill. He said he flew up there. I had to fly out and get him down. He's about half crazy. The very next day, we picked a bunch of them weeds and we put them in the sun to dry. Then we mashed them up and cleaned them off, put them in the corn cob pipe. Smoking them wildwood flowers got to be a habit. We never seen no harm. Oh, we thought it was kind of handy. Take a trip and never leave the farm. They go puff that wildwood weed, next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals. All good things got to come to an end. It's the same with the wildwood weeds. One day this fella from Washington come by and spied them and turned white as a sheet. And he dug and he burned and he burned and he dug and he killed all our cute little weeds. And then he drove away. We just smiled and waved, sitting there on that sack of seeds. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Jim Stafford and his recording of the Wildwood Weed. A man by the name of Mack Wiseman. Mack Wiseman, probably best known as a bluegrass performer, collected a bunch of names of famous country artists of that day, and this was recorded in the early 70s, and put them together into a song. It was called Johnny's Cash and Charlie's Pride. And here's the way Mack Wiseman did it.
If I had Johnny's cash and Charlie's pride, I wouldn't have a buck going on my car. I'd give Dolly a part in a good life and get me a bonnie guitar. I'd sue Thompson for driving Conway Twitty. I'd have Johnny right there digging Orwell's kitty. If I had Johnny's paycheck, Charlie'd walk her home from work no more. I tried to warn her Max she was making poor Merle haggard and sore. Oh, Homer, why'd you throw your chances away? You drove Dottie West, I saw Billy Ed Wheeler away. If I had Johnny's cash and Charlie's pride, I'd buy many pearls that glitter. She's built like a Stonewall Jackson. You should have seen the letter Tex writ her. If Jeannie'd see Riley, she'd check Billy's grammar fully. If Hank knows, he'll get Ben Colder wearing Chev's woolly. If I had Johnny's cash and Charlie's pride, I'd know what's keeping Farron Young that way. What's making Furlin a husky and Merv shine her car each day? I turn Jack Green, Claude Gray, Jim Ed Brown, and Carl Ballou. If I had Johnny's cash, Charlie's pride, and you, hey, Johnny's cash, Charlie's pride, and you.
How to take a lot of popular names and put them together and come up with a hit song. Mack Wiseman's contribution to our show. Well, you've probably heard Mack mention the name Billy Ed Wheeler, and here's a song that Billy Ed did that we would be remiss if we did not include on the show today. Billy Ed Wheeler took a very common building of our childhood and wrote a song about it. In fact, he wrote an ode to the little brown shack out back.
They passed an ordinance in the town. They said we'd have to tear it down. That little old shack out back, so dear to me. Though the health department said its day was over and dead, it will stand forever in my memory. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. For there's not another like it in the country or the town. It was not so long ago that I went tripping through the snow out to that house behind my old hound dog, where I'd sit me down to rest like a snowbird on his nest and read the Sears and Roebuck catalog. I would hum a happy tune, peeping through the quarter moon, as my daddy's kin had done before. It was in that quiet spot daily cares could be forgot. It gave the same relief to rich and poor. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. Don't let them tear that dear old building down. For there's not another like it in the country or the town. Now it was not a castle fair, but I could dream a future there and build my castles to the yellow jacket's drone. I could orbit around the sun, fight with General Washington, or be a king upon a golden throne. He's seen one of them, I know. It wasn't fancy built at all. We had newspapers on the wall. It was air conditioned in the winter time. It was just a humble hut, but its door was never shut, and a man could get inside without a dime. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. Don't let them tear that dear old building down. For there's not another like it in the country or the town.
Memories of a bygone day to a very appreciative crowd, Billy Ed Wheeler, and the Ode to the Little Brown Shack Out Back. Well, some of country music's most popular stars have also recorded some great novelty songs. Here's one that was written by Shel Silverstein, the famous cartoonist for Playboy magazine. He wrote the song for Johnny Cash, and it turned out to be a giant hit, even though it was a novelty song about a boy named Sue.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him 'cause he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold, and I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? came hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, "Son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name, and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong." Yeah. He said, "Now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me, and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, because I'm the that named you Sue." What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun. Called him a pawn, he called me a son. And I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, anything but Sue. I still ain't that man.
A giant song for Johnny Cash. Of course, when John and June had their son, they called him John Carter Cash. They didn't name him Sue. One of my favorite Johnny Cash novelty songs is the one that we're going to be playing for you next. It was written by Wayne Kemp, one of Nashville's best-known and most prolific writers. Well, he put together a story for Johnny to record, and it turned out to be another giant hit for Johnny Cash. In fact, it resulted in a very strange automobile actually being built from all the parts he describes on One Piece at a Time.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. So the very next day when I punched in with my big lunchbox and with help from my friend, I left that day with a lunchbox full of gear. I've never considered myself a thief, but GM wouldn't miss just one little piece, especially if I strung it out over several years. The first day I got me a fuel pump, and the next day I got me an engine and a trunk. Then I got me a transmission and all the chrome. The little things I could get in my big lunchbox, like nuts and bolts and all four shocks, but the big stuff we snuck out my buddy's mobile home. Up to now, my plan went all right till we tried to put it all together one night, and that's when we noticed that something was definitely wrong. The transmission was a 53, and the motor turned out to be a 73, and when we tried to put in the bolts, all the holes were gone. So we drilled it out so that it would fit, and with a little bit of help from an adapter kit, we had that engine running just like a song. Now the headlights, there was another sight. We had two on the left and one on the right, but when we pulled out the switch, all three of them come on. The back end looked kind of funny too, but we put it together, and when we got through, well, that's when we noticed that we only had one tail fin. About that time my wife walked out, and I could see in her eyes that she had her doubts. But she opened the door and said, "Honey, take me for a spin." So we drove uptown just to get the tags, and I headed her right on down Main Drag. I could hear everybody laughing for blocks around. But up there at the courthouse, they didn't laugh, 'cause to type it up, it took the whole staff. And when they got through, the title weighed 60 pounds. I got him one piece at a time, and it didn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. Yeah, Red Rider, this is the Cottonmouth in the Psycho Billy Cadillac, come on. This is the Cottonmouth, and negatory on the cost of this machine there, Red Rider. You might say I went right up to the factory and picked it up, it's cheaper that way. What model is it? Well, it's a 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59 automobile. It's a 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 65.
Johnny Cash's contribution to our fun show, a show that is being featured on our Country Cavalcade, some of the great humor songs of country music. This next song is a parody. It was turned out by a gentleman who was an actor, a writer, a performer. Actually, he performed under several different names, best known as Sheb Woolley. He appeared in the Rawhide series. He also was a movie actor, did a lot of Western shows, and was famous for the song The Purple People Eater. But for country music, he changed his name and did a drunk act. He called himself Ben Colder, and he took a very popular country song called Almost Persuaded, but he turned it around, and this is his version of that great country hit. Incidentally, Almost Persuaded by David Houston was a number one song, and so is this version by Sheb Woolley or Ben Colder.
Last night I stumbled into a barroom. I met a girl with a pint in her purse. She was cute as two speckled puppies. And I said, "Ben, you could do worse." Then I walked across a room full of tables. I walked across her table too, and I plopped myself down in a chair. I said, "Hi there." She whispered, "My name is Mabel." And all I could say was, "Out of there." I said, "Permit me to introduce myself. Ben Colder here." She said, "Ain't been no colder here than having place else." I had her almost persuaded. What happened to the diddly-doo there behind? Thank you. To slip, strip herself of her pride. Almost persuaded to slip me a drink on the side. Then we danced and we danced and we danced. We danced. That is, I thought I was dancing till somebody stepped on my hand. Then I looked in her eyes and I saw it, the reflection of my wedding band. And I thought, "That sure is strange. I ain't even married." What it was, my wristwatch. I had her on. came and made me go home.
One of the great drunk acts, that's Shep Woolley, or Ben Colder as he was known when he did that act, and Almost Persuaded, number two. No country humor show would be complete without this next star, one of the giants of country humor. Actually, he was writing the songs for himself, not for other people. He had written hits for other artists, like a song called Hello Vietnam that was a number one song for Johnny Wright, and he had written songs for other people. On the side, he was writing novelty songs for his own enjoyment, and all of a sudden found out that he could sell them, they would be popular, and they would make him into a superstar. His name was Roger Miller, the Wild Child.
Trailer for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, ain't got no cigarettes. Ah, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means, king of the road, third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Wool worn out suit and shoes, I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found, short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means, king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all of the children and all of the names, and every handout in every town, and every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I sing trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, ain't got no cigarettes. But 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means, king of the road. Trailers for sale rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing.
Roger Miller, the king of the road. Songs like that were to lead him to the Grand Ole Opry and, of course, his own television show, a show that he could use as a vehicle to introduce songs like this.
You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've mind to. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. Can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. Can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. But you can be happy if you've mind to. All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. Well, you can't go swimming in a baseball pool. Can't go swimming in a baseball pool. You can't go swimming in a baseball pool. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't change film with a kid on your back. Can't change film with the kid on your back. Can't change film with the kid on your back. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car. Can't drive around with a tiger in your car. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. Well, you can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. Can't roller skate in the buffalo herd.
You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd, but you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch, but you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd.
Read an interesting story the other day about Roger Miller, and when he first went to Nashville, he was working as a janitor and was hired by Farron Young to be a part of Farron Young's band. But Farron found out that Roger couldn't play any instruments. So Farron took Roger to a teacher, and the teacher taught Roger how to play the drums. So he was able to become part of Farron Young's famous deputies until he was making enough on his own as a writer and performer that he no longer needed the help. But it was a helping hand given by Farron Young that gave Roger Miller the big boost in Nashville. Here's another character who became quite famous for his crazy songs and then became a movie star, working with Burt Reynolds in quite a few movies, including Smokey and the Bandit. But the song that introduced him to me many years ago was a song called When You're Hot, You're Hot, a great novelty song by Jerry Reed.
Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley, and I kept rolling them sevens and winning all them pots. My luck was so good I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bones. Finally they threw up their hand and said, when you hot, you hot. I said, yeah.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
Behind me, I turned around and there was a big old cop. He said, hello, boys. Then he gave us a grin and said, look like I'm gonna have to haul y'all in and keep all that money for evidence. I said, well, son, when you hot, you hot.
He said, yeah, when you're hot, hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
You can explain it all down at City Hall. I said, yeah, when you're hot, hot, you're hot. You're hot. Buddy, did I recognize? I said, hey, Judge, old buddy, old pal, I'll pay you that $100 if you get me out of this spot. So he gave my friends a little fine to pay. He turned around and grinned at me and said, 90 days, Jerry, when you hot, you hot. And I said, thanks a lot.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
He let my friends go free and throw the book at me. He said, well, when you're hot, you're hot. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing, Judge, old buddy, old pal, if you wouldn't wear that black robe, take you out the back of this courthouse, and I try a little bit of your honor on. You understand that, you hillbilly? Who's gonna collect my welfare? Pay for my Cadillac.
Well, that song was so successful for Jerry Reed that he won a Grammy in 1971 and received a lot of accolades, a lot of awards for a song that he had put together simply called When You're Hot, You're Hot. And incidentally, he is also known as the Guitar Man, recorded several albums with Chet Atkins, and received a Grammy Award for one of those albums, a very fine guitar picker. Here's another song, though, that Jerry did that we thought you would enjoy. This is a favorite of mine, because I have so many friends who smoke, and yet I don't know of a one that doesn't tell me that he or she is going to quit just any day now.
I know there's a lot of talk going around today about cigarette smoking whittling your life away. I've seen it and I've heard it so many times that finally it just started to prey on my mind. I guess it scared me a little bit. That's why I decided I was going to quit. So while I was sitting here forming my battle plan, I took another puff and turned on the fan. I just sat there in my easy chair, thought of all the money I'd wasted on cigarettes all these years. I thought how I'd spend the rest of my days. after I kicked this habit my body craved. Said to myself, this ain't gonna be so tough. With that little bit of assurance, I took another puff. I took a puff, then I ripped off another puff. I decided I about had enough, that breaking this habit won't be too tough. Now, I'll give a lot of thought to this thing. If I didn't smoke cigarettes, I'd feel just like a king. Besides, with the price going up every day, I knew I was just throwing all my good money away. You know, I ain't lit one an hour or so. Just wanted to make sure I could quit, you know. I was thinking maybe I ought to write all this down, put it in a song, kind of circulate it around. Can't ever tell, it might make a hit. That left the call just a little bit. Can you imagine me, the hit songwriter? Where'd I put that cigarette lighter? After all, it's a habit, and a habit you can break. Just a little bit of willpower, son, that's all it takes. Said to myself, you got to be tough. And with that little bit of wisdom, I took another puff. I took a puff, and then a puff. And I finally ripped off another puff, and I decided, boy, this ain't gonna be tough. Besides, I just about had enough. I'm about ready to quit this riding habit anyway. Oh, I think they ought to take it off television. It looks too good. Ow! I like them skinny ones with the filter. Oh, give it to me, give it to me. Cigarettes. I say, if I quit smoking, what'll I do? Maybe I'll eat. Maybe I'll eat cigarettes. Oh, I love it, 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 I love it. Chester B don't smoke. He smokes logs. Makes you laugh funny, too. Oh, my throat's scratching. Oh, well. I wish I could think of something bad to say about cigarettes. Boo on cigarettes. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. You quit smoking, that'd leave more for me. I love it, I love it. No, I don't love cigarettes. You know, don't misunderstand me. I hate cigarettes. It makes you cough. And when you don't smoke, it makes you shake. I don't know what's worse, to shake or to cough. I think it'll make me a cough shake. Oh! Son, did you ever smoke? Oh, I remember one time I quit smoking. I quit for 3 months. My wife left me. So did my children. She took my house and left. It was a mobile home.
Well, a lot of humor there. Jerry Reed, and it's simply called Another Puff. Not one of his biggest recordings, but certainly one of my favorites. Back in the 1940s, Phil Harris, who was famous for his orchestra and the fact that he was a very fast talker, had recorded a song called The Hot Rod Ford. In the 1970s, many years later, Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen came along. They updated the song from the Hot Rod Ford to the Hot Rod Lincoln.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that Hot Rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and uses them all. It's got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with 4-11 gears you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars was shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still. All of a sudden, in a wink of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by and said, boys, it's a mark for me. By then, the taillight was all you could see. Now the fellas ribbed me for being behind, so I thought I'd make the Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it on down into overdrive. Wound it up to 110. My speedometer said that I hit top end. My foot was blue like lead to the floor. That's all there is, and there ain't no more. Now the boys all thought lost my sense, and telephone poles looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots. The lines on the road just look like dots. Took a corner, sideswiped the truck, crossed my fingers just for luck. My fenders was clicking the guardrail post. The guy beside me was white as a ghost. Smoke was coming from out of the back when I started to gain on that Cadillac. Knew it could catch him, I thought it could pass. Don't you know by then we'd be low on gas. We had flames coming from out of the side. You could feel the tension, man, what a ride. I said, look out, boys, I got a license to fly. And that cat, he pulled over and let us by. Now all of a sudden she started knocking down in the gym. She started to rock, and I looked in the mirror. Red light was blinking, the cops was after my hot rod Lincoln. They arrested me and they put me in jail, and they called my pappy to throw my bail. And he said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Commander Cody driving his hot rod Lincoln to success and fame and fortune. Our next and final artist on the show today is certainly one of the most prolific when it comes to novelty songs. He's written dozens and dozens, had many, many hit songs, and even performed in his own theater at Branson, Missouri. His name is Ray Stevens. His real name is Ray Ragsdale. And he has performed some very serious songs, songs that have gotten him Grammy nominations and into country music awards, but it's his novelty songs that really have provided him with the basis of his career. Here was one of his very first, recorded back in the 1960s, a parody, actually a takeoff on the heroes of Western movies, because there was always a hero on hand to save the gal. And the hero's name probably was a simple name, like Smith or Brown or Jones.
I plopped down in my easy chair and I turned on channel 2. A bad gunslinger named Assault to Sam, I was a chasing poor sweet Sue. He trapped her in the old sawmill and said with an evil laugh,
if you don't give me the deed to your ranch, I'll saw you all in half.
And then he grabbed her.
Help me, grab me, help!
He tied her up.
Help me, tie me up!
He turned on the bus.
He turned on the bus.
And then along came John, coughing John, slow walking John,
slow talking John.
Along came Lumley, Lanky Jones. Commercial came on, so I got up to fix myself a snack. You should have seen what was going on by the time that I got back. Down in the old abandoned mine, sweet Sue was having fits. That villain said,
give me the deed to your ranch, I'll blow you all to bits.
And then he grabbed her.
Help, he grabbed her.
He tied her up.
He tied me up again. Help.
He lit the fuse to the dynamite.
He lit the fuse to the dynamite. Tossing Jones, slow walking Jones,
slow talking Jones.
Along came Lonely Lanky Jones. Turn.
turned it off and turned on another show. But there was the same old shoot 'em up and the same old rodeo. Salty Sam was trying to stuff Sweet Sue in a burlap sack. He said,
if you don't give me the DDO ranch, I'll throw you on the railroad tracks.
And then he grabbed her.
Help, he's grabbing me again.
He tied her up.
He'll go get tied up.
She's on the railroad tracks.
He's going down the railroad
tracks. A train started coming.
Oh, it's on the train. It's on the train. Help, help. Help, help, help. Wow.
And then along came John. Talking Jones, slow walking Jones,
slow talking Jones.
Along came long, lean, lanky Jones. Along came long, lean, lanky Jones. Along came long, lean, lanky Jones.
Ray Stevens and Along Came Jones. We'll wrap up the show with probably his most popular and best-known song. It was a gold record, a number one song on the country charts for 4 big weeks, a song that certainly made him into a superstar, a song that he had written about a character who showed up just about everywhere with very little on.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on the scene at the supermarket. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was standing over here by the tomatoes, and here he come, running through the pole beans, through the fruits and vegetables, naked as a jaybird. And I hollered over to Ethel. I said, don't look, Ethel. And it's too late. She'd already been in since.
Here he comes.
Boogie-dee, boogie-dee.
There he goes.
Boogie-dee, boogie-dee.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Look at that, look at that.
Fastest thing on 2 feet.
Look at that.
He's just as proud as he can be. From his anatomy, he gonna give us a peek. Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Look at that.
He likes to show off his physique.
Look at that.
If there's an audience to be found, streaking it round, inviting public critique.
This is your Action News reporter once again, and we're here at the gas station. Pardon me, sir, did you see what happened?
Yeah, see, I was just in here getting my car checked, and he disappeared out of the traffic. Come streaking around the grease right there. Didn't have nothing on but a smile. I looked in there, and Ethel was getting her cold drink. I hollered, don't look, Ethel! And it's too late. She'd already been mooned. Flash, right there in front of the shop, so.
He ain't rude.
Boogity, boogity.
He ain't rude.
Boogity, boogity.
He's just in the mood to run in the new.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Boogity, boogity.
He likes to turn the other cheek.
Boogity, boogity.
He's always making the news. Wearing just his tennis shoes. Guess you could call him unique.
Once again, your Action News reporter in the booth at the gym covering the disturbance at the basketball playoff. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, see. Hey, Tom, I was just going down there to get Ethel a snow cone. Here he come, right out of the cheap seat. Dribbling. Right down the middle of the court. Didn't have on nothing but his tee. Made a hook shot and got out through the concession stand. I hollered up at Ethel. I said, don't look, Ethel! Too late. He'd already got a free shot. Grandstand. Right there in front of the home.
Well, yes, they call him the street.
Here comes Boogie. Who's that with
him?
Ethel. Is that you, Ethel?
He's just as proud as he can be.
What do you think you're doing?
His anatomy. He gonna give us
a key. You get your cold nose.
Well, yes, they call him the street.
Ethel, where you go?
He likes to show off.
The Funny Folks of Country Music. You've been listening to some of the classic country and western songs that have set the standards for much of today's popular music. These are some of my memories, and I'm Ron Barlow. This has been the Country Cavalcade.